Just when I think it can't get any crazier, then tomorrow arrives. Coming to you from the Carter Subaru of Studio, welcome. Welcome to the big show. Cloudy, gray Thursday afternoon. Bring back the 114 degrees, I say. I need some summertime here. But you know what? It's always sunshiny in my heart. And I do have some things you have exclusively brought to my attention. Let's get right to the big lead.
The big lead, Dory Monson show exclusive.
I heard from so many people yesterday and last night, and when I get an avalanche of emails on the same subject, I know it's worth looking into. But I heard from engineers, from surveyors, from people who now have to do the equity dance for the state of Washington. And I've told you before that there is a big difference between equality and equity. The big Marxist movement, whether it be with critical race theory in the schools or what we're doing on the streets with Antifa and BLM, the big push has been for equity. And that means everybody gets the exact same outcome, no matter what kind of effort they put forth. I don't believe in that. I believe that we are mainly the end result of, or the sum total of the effort we put forth. Now, that's not always true. Some hard workers get screwed over at times, and some slovenly people hit the lottery. But for the most part, we're the sum total of the effort that we put forth in life. Now, that is equality. And that's what I believe in, that your life's achievement should reflect your life's effort. Now, equity is very, very different. And this is what's happening in schools, in government, everywhere. Equity is everybody, no matter what kind of effort they put forth, everybody deserves the same outcome. That the laziest person and the hardest working person deserve the same outcome. So every time I see the word equity, I know what this is all about. And it's about just that, this Marxist ideal of everybody getting the exact same outcome in life. So I started getting emails after emails after emails. I started clicking on the links. If you are an engineer, if you're a surveyor, what you have to do to work for the state, and obviously all of these people who sent me material, I will keep anonymous. But let me give you one example. Dory is a licensed engineer, thus on the email list of the Board of Registration for Professional Engineer and Land Surveyors. I received an email from the board about them setting up a meeting for equity. WTF? I'm now a racist? And yes, you are. And then back to his email. Here's some of the content of this email. The meeting purpose is to gather the collective wisdom for co-creating a five-year equity strategic plan that helps Washington to bridge opportunity gaps and reduce disparities so everyone in Washington flourishes and achieves their full potential and there is equity and justice for all. That's all one sentence. Can no one in government write? I've mentioned this many times as I read the nonsense that is spewed forth by our government employees. Can nobody in government write? Now, my wife's a fine writer, and she made sure that by second grade, our daughters didn't write in run-on sentences and that they didn't sound ridiculous with the written word. That is one sentence there. The meeting purpose: to gather the collective wisdom for co-creating a five-year equity strategic plan that helps Washington to bridge opportunity gaps and reduce disparities so everyone in Washington flourishes and achieves their full potential and there's equity and justice for all. One sentence there. So then they send out what these engineers and land surveyors have to do. Number one, you have to give your name and in 25 words or less where you are on your anti-racist journey. Well, that'd be easy. I could do it in 4 words. I don't need 25 words. I'm not a racist. That's all I would say to that. And then number two, imagine creating an anti-racist Washington state where everyone flourishes and achieves their full potential for the common good in equitable and just state for all. Again, one sentence. And then the questions you must answer. What specifically does that look like to you? Well, it looks like my life, where you judge everybody based on the content of their character. What does it feel like to live in this state? Well, if I get to craft the state, it feels pretty darn good. What opportunity gaps need to be bridged? Well, I guess we have to figure out a way to make the lazy work harder. This is how I would answer all these questions. I might not get the state contract. Which disparities need to be eliminated? Well, that's government discriminating against people based on factors other than the kind of work they do. What, in your opinion, must be measured to achieve this reality? To achieve reality. The state of Washington wants us to achieve reality. Reality just is. Reality is reality. You want us to achieve it. And then it goes on and on. So this guy sent me the link, and it was signed Anonymous Dude who sent this to me. But I went to the link of what these engineers have to do, what the hoops they have to jump through. And this is from the Washington State Office of Minority and Women's Business Enterprises. Office of Equity Strategic Planning Listening Sessions. Yeah, they're going to listen unless you disagree with them, and then you will be shunned. And they say, there's an online survey. Please take a moment to answer these survey questions. And then it's the questions that I was just reading to you. Community stakeholder. Office. Yeah, wait a second. Let me get my, where did my woke word? There they are. Let me get my... My woke word dice here. Community stakeholder, Office of Equity Strategic Planning Listening Survey. To gather the collective wisdom for co-creating a five-year equity strategic plan that helps Washington bridge opportunity gaps and reduce disparities so everyone in Washington flourishes and achieves their full potential for the next seven generations and beyond. How'd they come up with that? We're supposed to craft something that's going to make everything equitable for the next seven generations. How long is a generation? About 30, 40 years? So we're going to create a 300-year plan. The state of this office that was created. And then they point out that this the background on the Office of Equity, it was newly created. The newly created Washington State Office of Equity was established by the legislature and signed into law in April of 2020 because the legislature found that the population of Washington State has become increasingly diverse over the last several decades. As the demographics of our state change, historically and currently marginalized communities still do not have the same opportunities to meet parity as their non-marginalized counterparts across nearly every measure, including education, poverty, employment, health, and more. My question there is, so Democrats have been solely in charge of our state for most of my life. If that's the case, and we are still so racist that we marginalize people, that we keep people under our boot for poverty. Why do Democrats do that? Why have Democrats over the last 30 years that they've been in control of our state, why haven't they solved any of these problems? What is it about Democrats that make them want to keep people under their boot on areas of poverty, employment, health, and more? But no. The Democrats have absolutely failed. They are the most racist of political parties. Now, I'm not saying that. That's what they're telling us. That's their own definition. The Democrats are the most racist of political parties, so racist that after being in sole control of the state for most of my lifetime, they still needed to create last year an Office of Equity. Why don't Democrats do what I do? Just live a life of equity and treat everybody based on how hard they work, how they deserve to be treated, not the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I think that's a pretty reasonable goal to set. But the state of Washington is spending millions of dollars on this new office, and they're sending out the surveys to engineers and surveyors to tell them how racist they all are. Don't let the state of Washington define you being racist. The only thing that defines you being racist is you. If your thoughts, words, and actions are racist, then you're a racist. If some knucklehead down in Olympia says you're a racist, that doesn't mean anything. That means less than nothing, because they have so little knowledge of what they speak. So anyway, that is a thank you to all the engineers, all the land surveyors, the dozen or so people who sent me copies of what we're doing now in our state to make sure that all engineers and land surveyors are equitable. And again, if they're going to push for equity, be as lazy as possible and demand the same outcome as the hardest worker out there. Got it? Good. Next up in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Top story.
Holy bejolies. I was driving last night. I don't drive that much these days. But I was driving last night past the gas station where gas was over $4 a gallon. $4 a gallon. And it continues to rise. It had a little spike for the 4th of July, and it hasn't come down off the 4th of July. And sadly, this was all predicted. We told you it was going to happen. Frankly, Donald Trump told you it was going to happen. He said during the campaign, during the election run-up, he said, if Joe Biden gets into office, watch what happens to gas prices.
Look what they've done. They will make Russia so rich because of what's happening. When I left, it was $1.87 a gallon for a gallon of gas. Now it's over $3. It's going to go up to $5, $6, or $7. Mark my words. And that's bigger than any tax increase you could give. You could triple people's taxes. That costs more money for the middle-income people. Much more money. And for, frankly, for our country, it's a disaster. It's going to stop everything.
Yeah, it is an effort to destroy the middle class. And that was Trump just a couple of weeks ago after the election saying that. But he said it was over $3 a gallon. Now here in some places, here in the Puget Sound area, it's up over $4 a gallon. And if you are a middle class person, you're getting absolutely crushed at both the state and the federal level because they despise the middle class. They've gone over that many, many times. They love poor people because poor people are completely and wholly dependent on government for getting by in life. They tolerate some rich people because the rich people pay the taxes that allow them to have their phony baloney six-figure jobs. But the middle class, they hate. Because if you're a middle-class person, you're still somewhat aspirational. You still think that by working hard, you can get up in, you know, move up a quintile or two and get up into the top 40 or top 20%, which is a wonderful life goal. But Joe Biden's going to make certain that does not happen. And he spoke about it again. He just said that he is going to get rid of all the tax breaks for the oil companies, which will lead to another massive tax increase at the pump.
If we end tax breaks for fossil fuels, make polluters pay to clean up the messes they've made, that would raise $90 billion. I'm not asking them to do anything that is unfair. Just not going to subsidize them anymore. They're doing well, thank you.
Okay, but the middle class is not. as they are having to pay an extra over $2 a gallon now from where it was just a few months ago. And if you put in 15 gallons a week, not unusual, $2 a gallon is $30 a week, and that's $1,500 a year in essentially more tax. And Joe Biden just pledged, it's over $4 now, and Joe Biden just pledged that he's going to get rid of tax breaks, which will ensure that gas goes up to $5 or $6 a gallon, as Donald Trump predicted a couple of weeks ago. And so buckle up. It's going to be a stealth tax on pretty much every middle-class family in the country. And it's coming hard. And that is your big lead for today.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Well, I've been looking forward to this. A couple of weeks ago, I heard our superintendent of public instruction in our state, Chris Rakedahl. He came on Cairo Radio and he said critical race theory does not exist in our schools. Well, I have lots of examples of exactly how it exists. And so I'm going to challenge the superintendent on that next here on the Dory Monson Show. What's an issue we've been talking about an awful lot lately? Critical race theory being taught in our nation's schools and across the country. Parents are fighting back at school board after school board meeting. I heard something I considered rather remarkable a week and a half or so ago here on Cairo Radio when our superintendent of public instruction, Chris Rakedahl, said CRT is not being taught in schools in our state. And I just don't agree with that in the slightest. Chris Rakedahl joins us here on the Dory Monson Show. Chris, always good to talk with you.
Good morning.
I was shocked when I heard you say that critical race theory was not being taught in schools in our state, because I have tons of examples of it being taught. So tell me how you reach that conclusion to say that on another show.
Because I tried to make a distinction between the politicization of this entire topic, right? Every couple of years from some national framework, there's a political agenda. It's Common Core, it's critical race theory, it's sexual health ed, it's another subject. And then there's national talking points. And in this one, it's things like we're teaching kids to hate their own race and we're teaching a racial division. That is not what's happening. There is no statute about that. There's no lesson plans about that. There's nothing in our curriculum about that. So when I say we're not teaching critical race theory, I'm saying we are not teaching the stuff that has become a political talking point in national radio. We are definitely teaching race, and we are teaching comprehensive history. Those are very different things.
Okay, when you say you're not teaching that, I know that there's no written curriculum because nobody wants to have a paper trail of this. But let me give you a couple examples that I've covered on my show. In the North Shore School District for Black History Month, they linked to a quote from a convicted cop murderer who's been on the FBI most wanted list for decades now, Asada Shakur, who's been apparently in Cuba in exile after breaking out of prison. Why, if we're not teaching a social agenda to our kids, why in the world would the North Shore School District link to a quote from a convicted cop killer?
Well, Dory, you should talk to the North Shore School District. There's 3.6 million lesson plans a year. There are 3.6 million lesson plans delivered a year, and everyone's going to take a slightly different approach. That is different than whether the state of Washington has curriculum or agenda. Whether a random quote is used is not news.
Well, this
That's
isn't
a political
random,
agenda. It's not news. It is not the facts of how we teach in our school.
Well, wait a second. Of course it's news, and of course it's a fact of what's being taught. I had another exclusive on my show of a Renton kindergarten teacher who had her kindergartners recite how they live on stolen land and how obviously their parents are thieves because they live on stolen land. So it's not random, Chris. It's North Shore. It's Renton. It's the Highline Public Schools where they taught. I mean, there's a teacher training curriculum that taught staff that race is a social construct. And they talked about intersectionality and all the buzzwords of critical race theory. So I can give you more examples, but for you to say it's not being taught is absolutely ludicrous.
I want you and your listeners, if they believe that this is real in schools, that this is something taught in our schools, it's part of the curriculum and there's lesson plans, I want them to talk to any school district and ask for that information. Say, we want to see the lesson plans. We want to see the curriculum that you've adopted because we adopt all this stuff locally. And go look for yourselves. If there is an actual incident that you think is inappropriate, there is a process to raise that through a principal, a school board, and ultimately, if viable, an investigation from this organization. So follow those processes.
You're suggesting these are all a bunch of isolated incidents. And at first you said that it's not being taught. I just gave you, I can give you more. I can give you how at Canyons Park Middle School, a science teacher had an eighth grade class take steps forward and backwards based on their privilege. And if you were a black gay man, you ended up at the back of the classroom. And if you were a white straight kid, you ended up at the front. These things are being taught, Chris. And the problem I have is when you say that, well, you cherry pick one isolated example, I can give you 10 more if you want, but this is happening at schools throughout the state in which you are the superintendent of public instruction. These are not isolated incidents, Chris.
I think they are. And I think there's evidence of what we do teach in our learning standards. And I think you need to pursue this at any local level where you think it's inappropriate. I think anecdote and story makes for great radio. It is not curriculum statewide.
Do you want me to keep going on anecdotes? Because you make it sound like every one of these are random cowboy teachers who are doing something that's not approved. So I'm not going to keep going down my list, although I have about 10 more of these. But let me ask you, how do you define critical race theory?
I'm not going to.
Why not?
Because it is now a politicized tool of those who are trying to run a political agenda, evidenced by a Washingtonian who created this new reality, basically got in front of the Trump White House. Within days, it became talking points. It hit all of the cable conservative news networks. You're now bought into it. So your definition of critical race theory is something about shaming. It is something about not teaching kids the whole history. What I will tell you is what we have been doing even when you were in school, Dory, which is looking at any issue from multiple perspectives and acknowledging that even though we have made incredible progress, we drag our history with us.
Well,
there is still redlining. There are still impacts in schools.
Understood.
There are still cost barriers to families based on race, based on gender.
Which is why money should follow students and not just follow from district to district. If you want to start erasing some of those inequities on what we spend on students. But let me get back to my question a couple moments ago. You've told me that critical race theory does not exist in Washington. Then I asked you to define critical race theory, and you said you won't do it. How can my listeners judge whether you are being truthful, whether it's being taught or not, if you won't even define what it is that you are talking about?
Because critical race theory isn't in a law, a statute, a curriculum, a lesson.
Of course it's not.
It legally does not exist.
No, wait a second. Are you telling me that if it's not codified, that teacher after teacher after teacher, district after district, is not teaching this to the kids? Because that's just crazy, Chris, if that's what you're saying.
Every year, Dory, we do inspections of our food programs. Just like any restaurant, health inspectors come in, they look. There are times where food isn't warmed up enough, and there are reactions to that. Districts have to fix that. They get dollars to spend on nutritional programs. I would never say to you that every single district is poisoning kids. Every single district is undercooking its food. It's a program in the state of Washington. I would say to you, there are 295 variations of everything because there are 295 districts, 80,000 teachers, 3.6 million lesson plans. I can't promise you what goes into each one of them. I can tell you the learning expectations, the learning standards, those are documented. And I believe our teachers do an amazing job. But I will never embrace a national political talking point because you have examples of something that you think is out of bounds. That's very, very...
I have dozens of examples. And when I present dozens of examples, Chris, obviously I have a trend line that proves that it's being taught in the schools in the state in which you are the superintendent. You won't even define what it is that you're telling me doesn't exist. That doesn't make it, why won't you define your what your vision or what your definition of critical race theory is? And then we can judge whether you're being truthful or not.
Because it doesn't exist. As I understand it, somebody in the 60s or 70s created this for law school. Go look at what their definition of critical race theory is. What we teach in our learning standards is a balanced approach to issues in which we understand the historical impact of groups, how we bring some of that progress forward, as well as some of the barriers that remain. Like, that's history. That's civics. That's balance. I don't know what you want to call it. If that's CRT, that's what it is. But we don't
Define it for you. You won't define it for me. I'll happily define it for you. It is an extension of an effort to get a Marxist ideology into our schools, to present to our kids that capitalism is evil, that people, by dint of their birthright, or by dint of their, you know, skin color and whatever other characteristics, their gender, things that these kids can't control, that they are either oppressors or the oppressed. I mean, I've done extensive study on this, and for you to accuse me of just lifting this because some Seattle guy's doing it is ridiculous, because I've been talking about this for years and years on my show, long before I'd ever heard Chris Rufo's name. I'll be happy to define it for you, Chris, but as long as you won't define it, you say it you won't define it because it doesn't exist, I'm giving you example of example of how it does exist.
And I disagree with you.
Well, I'm not sure what you disagree on. I'm presenting you with a bunch of facts, not opinions. But tell you what, Chris Reichdahl, he's agreed to spend the rest of the hour with us. So we will continue this conversation with the superintendent of public instruction, Chris Reichdahl, as the Dory Monson Show continues. All right, I am back with our state superintendent of public instruction, Chris Reichdahl. And right before the break, you said you disagreed with me on these critical race theory examples that I'm giving. What do you exactly disagree with? What facts that I've presented today? I'll keep giving it to you. I'll talk about how at Canyon Park Middle School, they give students a wheel of power and privilege, and they had to identify their own privilege or declare themselves marginalized and oppressed. I mean, I'll go on, but what do you disagree with me on? Because everything I've stated is a provable fact.
Then you should talk to those school districts if you believe that's real.
Chris, you're the superintendent of this state, of the schools in this state.
And as you and I have talked about many times over, the superintendent of the state does not run curriculum or lesson plans. We have learning standards, we have objective outcomes, and we assess for those. I want to give you an example. I hope you'll give me the airtime to listen. In the 1950s and 60s, there was a massive division in this country that extended into the 70s. We know about the highly impactful conflicts around race. The exact same debate took place in this country. Those who said you are teaching Marxist, leftist, all those ridiculous labels you throw at public education in an effort to destroy it. Because we were teaching
wait a second. That's absolutely unfair to suggest that I'm trying to destroy. I care about public education. I've worked in the schools. My wife currently works in the public schools. For you to suggest that I'm trying to destroy public education is absolutely unfair. I'm a taxpayer. I'm a parent. I'm somebody who wants public education to be the best that it can be. That's why I'm so passionate about this, not out of some effort to destroy. And that's a really scurrilous accusation to throw at me, that I'm trying to destroy public education by merely challenging you on this issue.
Great. Then don't call everyone in the system leftist, Marxist, and you just said that a privatized system of vouchers is the answer. You just said that on this interview right here.
Correct.
Okay.
Okay, what?
Let me finish my example. If you'll give me the airtime, let me finish the example.
I'll let you finish as long as you don't say patently untrue things about me.
Great.
I'll let you finish the example.
Great. We had this historic debate in this country for decades. And at the time of it, through the time of teaching Jim Crow laws, there was a rabid debate. And at the time, as you recall, through your own study of history, there were folks who said, yes, we went through this horrific period of slavery. We fought a civil war in part over this. Yes, there was an Emancipation Proclamation in 1863. Yes, we have a 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendment. That didn't solve race. It didn't solve lots of problems. We carry it with us. We saw it in the form of Jim Crow laws, separate fountains, separate schools, separate housing, separate banking. We were creating an apartheid state at the time. My point, Dory, at the time, please listen, at the time, there was a war that went on, and people said we are teaching leftist, socialist, Marxist stuff in our public schools because we are trying to tell kids that it is still a racist society, which it was. That's the balanced system we're talking about.
To make your point about it being racist society, you are comparing 2021 to the days of Jim Crow? Because if you're making some comparison there, that's one of the most historically ignorant things I've ever heard.
If you're not listening,
things are not any different from Jim Crow days.
Then you're not listening. I just said, with progress that we have made, meaningful, powerful progress, we also drag some of our history with us as effort, as examples of what we continue to have to make progress on. That's what good history and social studies and civics has always done. And there's always been a group accusing those who do that as being Marxist, leftist extremists. And we saw it in the 50s and 60s. We're seeing it today. I respect your opinion about this, but you make broad, sweeping statements about public education because you have examples of lesson plans that you don't agree with.
Well, no, and that's my point. I have not made broad, sweeping examples other than I think vouchers would be a wonderful thing. But the specificity of the things that I've brought up prove my point that this is on a broad basis being taught in many different districts in your state. Let me ask you this. Since you believe that critical race theory is not being taught in the schools, you know that there are state after state that have banned critical race theory in the schools. Would you support such a ban here in Washington, given that it's not being taught in the first place? Would you support a critical race theory ban?
We don't have a definition of it, Dory, so I'm not going to ban something that you define differently than anyone else defines.
But you just told me it's not happening.
I don't ban textbooks. I don't ban curriculum.
You just told me that critical race theory is not happening in the schools. So
I said your definition of it is not a systemic approach that the state of Washington expects in its schools or has in its schools or is in lesson plans or is in curriculum or is in assessments.
So what should happen if this is not part of approved lesson plans? What should happen to the 23 teachers with whom I have examples or for whom I have examples of them teaching pure critical race theory? If they are teaching outside of the curriculum, that's what you're telling me. There are a bunch of renegade teachers who aren't teaching within the curriculum. What should happen to those 23 teachers who are teaching racial divisiveness in the schools?
I did not say they're renegade teachers or they're teaching outside the curriculum. Those are your words. I have said consistently, any parent or any conservative talk radio host who believes they have examples of teachers in violation or anything else can make appeal to the local school for them to fully examine that question.
But, Chris, you always toss back to the local school districts, and you are the superintendent of public instruction for the entire state of Washington. You have told me that CRT does not exist in the schools. You won't define what it is that's not being taught. You won't tell me what should happen to the teachers who are teaching something that you tell me is not in the schools. I'm spinning around in circles here trying to make sense of all this, Chris.
Because you created a political construct.
No, I haven't.
You use words like leftist and Marxist on people, and then you want me to define it differently when there is nothing in legal definition about it. So we have 300 million Americans with a different definition of it, and then you want to know why we don't have a standard by which we evaluate every teacher against that.
Well, then how do you know it's not being taught? If you cannot even define what it is, or you will not, I think you can, but you just choose not to. If you choose to not define what it is, how can you tell all of my listeners that it's not being taught? If you won't even define what it is that's not being taught.
And the reason you think it is being taught is because you've defined it for yourself.
Well, of course. And I'm asking you to define it for yourself.
And I'm telling you that I am the superintendent of the state of Washington who follows our laws and our assessment framework and our learning standards. And there's nothing about critical race theory because it's a political construct right now as defined by you and some of your allies. And it's apparently a theory in the 60s and 70s in law school. And I'm telling you the reality of what we actually do teach in our schools as an expectation of our learning outcomes.
Okay. Well, I mean, there's far more than a political a political construct makes it sound theoretical. And I've got kindergarten teachers telling children that their parents are on stolen land. I have middle school teachers telling kids, take a step forward if you're white, take a step backwards if you're black. I mean, I have lots of examples. This is much more than a political construct, which sounds theoretical. This is actual. This is what's happening in the schools in your state. And that's why I was hoping to at least get a definition of it. But I feel like we've probably hit the end of a dead end because we're not going to get anywhere from here.
And I want to encourage you to keep finding balance. We have to teach comprehensive history. You can label it however you want, call it what you want. But when justice, brand that, define it, label it any way you want. That's what's actually in our learning standards. That's what I believe our teachers do a great job teaching to. And if you think somebody is out of bounds around that, you have an appeal process locally that can turn into a larger state investigation if appropriate. We've not seen anyone make those appeals at this point in time. Okay. Only
and I'm telling you, those local districts will not talk about this issue. They're too cowardly because they know that it's an indefensible position. But that's why I appreciate you always coming on, because you will talk about these things and you will spar with me on this. So, you know, that's much more than I can say for the local districts that you're referring me to, because they simply won't engage the way that you will. So, as always, Chris Reichtol, I appreciate you taking the time coming on with me today.
Thank you, Dory. Appreciate it.
All right. Chris Reichtol is superintendent of public instruction in our state. Love to hear your thoughts on all this. You can text me at 98973. That's 98973. Lots more to come here on the Dory Monson Show.